Good morning. I'm reading from Acts 2, 42 to 47, and from the New Living Translation. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Mom Barbara. Let me just say a short prayer. Oh God, we have worshipped you in songs, we have come to you in prayers. Now, God, your word is about to be proclaimed. And God, my prayer is that you will use every word that comes from my mouth for people's healing, transformation, and for my own healing. Bless this time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. If we have become accustomed to think of resurrection life as something that we receive to enjoy as individuals, today's lectionary readings will come as kind of a shock. Through the interesting twins or collage of metaphors, the sheep and the shepherd, suffering and care, life and togetherness in community of faith, we are drawn into recognizing that the life Christ offers is always shared. That what comes from Jesus should always be shared. That as I walk my walk of faith, it's good to walk with God, but it's also good to walk with people. That my healing comes from God, but sometimes through walking with people, healing happens. We are not alone. We have got a shepherd who walks before us, but sometimes sent people who will walk before us. The simple lesson which Jesus intended to teach, one of the lectionary prescribed readings for today, is John chapter 10. Jesus calling himself a good shepherd, the one who lays his life for the sake of his sheep, the one who knows his sheep, whose sheep knows his voice. In that lesson, which is a little bit similar to Psalm 23, where David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For as long as I live, I will dwell in his house." The teaching intended here has often been strangely mistaken. The minds of people have been so fixed upon some ecclesiastical conclusions that the profound teaching of Psalm 23 and John chapter 10 and Acts chapter 2 have been overlooked. Jesus in John chapter 10, a passage we did not read, when he calls himself the good shepherd, he was not defending the formal authority of his own or any authority for that matter. He was not defending any office. He was not discussing the regularity or lawfulness of his own or his ministry. He was not pointing out the mode of entrance into shepherdhood. But Jesus was telling people how the function for all true shepherdhood must be discharged. He was laying a rule of good conduct and the right service in all true leadership, a rule which he himself exemplified. He led, he served, he loved God's people, he walked with God's people, he shared his life with them. I'm talking about the good shepherd. The one who led, the one who served, the one who loved, the one who shared his life with God's people, the one who walked with God's people. All this, Jesus sharing his life, Jesus walking with people, Jesus loving God's people, Jesus touching God's people, it echoes one thing about Jesus. Christ came to give life. He says it in John chapter 10. I have come that people may have life and have life in all its fullness. Christ came to give life. He is the good shepherd. And when David speaks about God, who is the good shepherd, he says he watches over us. He restores my soul. I want to give you a very few examples of how Jesus watches over us, how Jesus walks with us, how Jesus walks before us, how Jesus shares his life with us, how Jesus restores our soul, how Jesus is our healer. I want to give you just a few reasons why you and I should trust the shepherd. If we have lost the shepherd, I want to give you reasons why it is important for us to find the shepherd again. On the cross, Jesus offered new life to one of the thieves who was hanging with him because he is a good shepherd. He restores people's lives. He restores people's souls. After the resurrection, the angel said to the first witnesses of resurrection, go and tell his disciples, he is going ahead of them. They will meet in Galilee. Jesus wanting to go ahead of the confused disciples, of the ones who had abandoned Jesus. But because he is a good shepherd, after resurrection, he goes ahead. He wants to meet them in Galilee because he is a good shepherd. When Mary stood outside the tomb crying, not recognizing the risen Jesus, Jesus says to Mary, Mary, calling her by her name. Because even in our own pains, Jesus recognizes us, sees us, calls us by our name, knows each and every ills we go through. And because Mary was called by her name, she responds, Rabboni, teacher, the Messiah, the Savior, as if Mary was saying, you know me, you see me. When we hurt, Jesus knows that. Jesus recognizes us. And John says, I know my sheep. I know their names. They know my voice. And the hope here is we are able to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Because sometimes we remain where we are, even though Jesus has availed himself, it's because we are not able to recognize the voice of the shepherd and respond like Mary, Rabboni. Maybe we have been called many times, but are we able to recognize we are being called? Have we responded? Is it possible that the vision of the Methodist Church of a Christ-healed Africa for the healing of nations has not been recognized, realized? It's because we are failing to recognize the voice of the one who calls us, who invites us into a place of healing. And so you see, Jesus is not just the Jesus who laid his life for the sake of his flock, but is the Jesus who indeed who came that people may have life and have life in all its fullness. Jesus who, despite his pain while hanging on the cross, led a thief to a new life. Jesus whose life, whose misery could not stop him from bringing new thing into a life of a person. Jesus who, after resurrection, walked ahead of his people. God who walks ahead of us. God who knows our future. And God who walks with us into the future. Because that's what the shepherds do. They walk before their flock. They lead. They serve. They share their life. And what I want us to do today, it's to recognize that we have God, a shepherd. It is to remember that help is available. It is known that we have got someone who invites us and say, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come unto me. I will give you rest. And David says, he restores my soul. When I am broken, he heals me. When I am dead, he raises me up. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I am down, he restores my soul. He brings back life. If you have not been introduced to that Jesus, I reintroduce you to that Jesus who lifts us up when we are down. He is a good shepherd. And so a relationship with this shepherd, it can be in a very practical way, be part. It should be the relationship with the shepherd. It should be in a very practical way, part of our toolkit. Have him there. Last night, I got a call from home. It was about 11:15 in the morning. One of my brothers called me. There was a problem with the other brother. And so he calls me. My mom, by the way, is here. She's been here since Good Friday. But he calls me, not their mother. My mother was just enjoying her sleep while I was busy dealing with issues in Pietermaritzburg, 550 kilometers. And then because I know how to deal, I think I know how to deal with my brothers. Calls me, he wants me to speak with the other brother, and the other brother just pressed the phone, put me on hold, and the cell phone just doo-doo, doo-doo, and then I switched it off. He didn't want to hear from me. You know what I was going to say. I was not going to preach to him, by the way. But I thought I know how to deal with my brothers. Until maybe after 4 minutes or so, I said to myself, why is it that I have not called God about this issue? Why am I trying to solve things all the way from Pietermaritzburg, 12:15 in the morning? Do I not trust Jesus in this situation? Why am I not trusting the shepherd I am going to be preaching about tomorrow morning? Then I dropped everything, pulled myself back. I prayed to Jesus. I said to Jesus, even if I was in Peter Maritzburg, maybe I was not going to be able to solve whatever that is happening in Peter Maritzburg. Then I fell asleep. So I understand what it means to practically make Jesus part of my toolkit. I understand what it means to practically use and call on Jesus whenever there is a need. I understand what it means to need someone who will walk before me and calm the storms for me. I haven't heard a thing from Peter Maritzburg since last night. Hopefully everyone is alive. But all I'm saying is sometimes we do have food. It is just in front of us, but we don't feed ourselves on it. And Jesus, the shepherd, today invites those who are carrying heavy burdens, those who are saying, I feel pains all over my body, those who are saying, my life is just broken into pieces. It is beyond repairs. Jesus avails himself as a shepherd. And one writer says, he hems me from behind and before. He walks behind me and he leads me beside still waters. Sometimes we do want healing, but we don't even know what we want to be healed from. We know we are sick, but where the problem is, we don't know. All we know is you can't be a South African and be well. You can't be in South Africa. You can't have load shedding and be well. You must be sick. There must be something wrong. But I want us to take this time. Since April is the National Stress Awareness Month, I want us to take this moment to identify any stress that is weighing heavily on you. And become aware of how the Good Shepherd desires to bring relief to you. Just become aware of how Jesus desires to bring relief to you. How the Good Shepherd enters into sympathy with you. How the Good Shepherd wants to walk with you the way he walked with the disciples on their way to Emmaus. In life and death, Jesus walks with God's people. Therefore, he could say, I am the Good Shepherd. Not merely because he was commissioned, he was sent by his Father, but because he is the Good Shepherd. He knows his sheep. He knows them by name. He knows you. And Isaiah says, I have called you by your name. And the shepherd wants to heal you. Before we watch this video, just take this time, recognize, acknowledge if there's any stress weighing on you and you would like Jesus to help you with that. Think about it. Is it your own personal issues? Is it your finances? Is it broken relationships? Dysfunctional family, your unstable marriage, your own health, issues with your siblings, struggling with grief. What is it? What is stressing you up? How would you like Jesus to help you? Here is another way how our healing is possible. Healing and reality of the resurrection is discovered as we care for one another and share life in mutual compassion and protection. Healing happens when life is shed. We see that in Acts chapter 2. Healing happens when life is shed with those who follow Christ. It is only together in community that Christ's life can be known and be enjoyed. Do you need a friend? Do you need friends? Do you need companions? Do you wish you could have someone to walk with? Do you want to have someone to walk with you in your stressful journey? Watch this video.
Hi, I'm Denise. And if you don't already belong to a home group, I would really like to encourage you to join one. I'd been a member of Trinity for many years before I finally joined a home group. And it was really only then that I actually felt as though I belonged and really enjoyed going to church every week and being welcomed by all my friends. We are quite a diverse mix of 10 different ladies, and we all have something to offer. We've built such a sense of community and togetherness, especially during all of those months of lockdown, but we also keep each other in check. About 6 years ago, our home group leader moved down to the coast, and I ended up taking her place. I've always loved having people to visit, and we're a really hospitable family, often entertaining. But it took quite a while before I saw myself as a home group leader. Knowing that we are there for each other and being able to pray together has been a very special experience, and we've grown together and established very meaningful friendships. For the last couple of years, we've participated in the sermon series studies that Trinity offers, and we thoroughly enjoy going deeper into each week's message and trying to incorporate it into our lives. Thank you.
I joined this home group 11 years ago and enjoy it more than ever. My spiritual walk with God has increased because I can ask questions and we inspire one another.
If you would like to have a group of friends, people who will help you in your walk of faith, people who will help carry your burdens to God, see me after the service. For more on this video, please visit our website. It will be uploaded this coming week because these are not the only two members of this group. There are more than two. Because of the purposes of this service and because of the time, I only played a short part of it. You will go to the website and you will see more about this home group. Now we go into a time of prayer of intercession, and I invite Mom Carol Radcliffe to come and do this prayer for us.